Well, there is much debate over the economic costs of South Africa's lockdown, whether the attempt at mitigating the spread of the disease is worth the deepening financial crisis. Experts have warned that lockdown measures could remain in place for much of this year. But who's right about the economic cost? Those who argue for continuing with them or those who want them lifted? Chief Investment Officer at Allan Gray, Andrew Lapping, joins us now. Thanks so much, Andrew, for your time this evening. So you've written a piece on South Africa's approach to lockdown. Down to managing this pandemic, and you've been critical of the stance that has been adopted or taken thus far, saying that the focus needs to be on education and economic growth. What's your recommendation to government at this stage, given the uncertain and uncharted terrain that we're navigating?
Thanks for having me. The first thing I think government should do is release all the information they have. You know, what have the experts been telling them? Because I imagine if the experts have been telling them to enforce the lockdown further, they probably would have released that data. So the first thing is release the data. And then the other important thing is context. Yes, COVID is a deadly disease and people are going to die from it. But people unfortunately die of very many things every single day. And you can't focus on only one thing, i.e. death from COVID, to the detriment of people have to feed their children, malnutrition, and other issues in the economy. So I would argue that the government should take a broader approach, let people work, go about their jobs while taking reasonable precautions.
Yeah, of course, where the suggestion is by no means to trade lives for economic growth. With the information that you do have at hand, Andrew, what are some of the trade-offs that you think need to happen at this stage?
Yeah, so the government has to take a realistic assessment of how many lives the lockdown is actually going to save. Because, you know, what are they trying to achieve? Because all they are doing by the lockdown is somewhat delaying the peak. The same number of people are still going to fall ill unless a vaccine is found in the very short term. So benefits of the lockdown, I would think, very limited from a life-saving point of view. However, you look at the human costs of the lockdown, there's a huge amount of research globally that shows how a country's wealth or a person's wealth is directly linked to the mortality. And as people become poorer, mortality rates increase. I actually, subsequently to writing that piece, I saw some information from the South African life industry that showed, even in the South African context, insured lives, how mortality doubles with income loss.
Yeah. Have you done the cost-benefit analysis that would motivate for this stance in any detailed measure, Andrew, so that there is that motivation for government to adopt a stance that you're recommending sooner rather than later?
So we've put broad numbers out to them in terms of, you know, direct costs. They're putting a 500 billion stimulus package out there. SARS has said that tax collections could fall by approximately 250 billion. So let's just say that's a 750 billion rand number. So you've got that number, and then you say how many lives are going to be saved. Quite minimal amounts. So you can quite easily do a sum of, there's a huge amount of investment in COVID for minimal lives saved, which is a tragic thing to say. But unfortunately, government has to do these cost-benefit analysis. And then you could say, actually, should that money be better spent in TB protection, in safety and security, in ensuring people take their AIDS medicine, and how many lives could be saved if that same amount of money was applied to those type of things? And we put it to government that we think more lives could be saved if you put more money to other options.
And of course, if you look at the rationale or basis for the lockdown, it was to buy time to build a sufficient healthcare system, to prepare adequate resources as well. How are you rating that success given the announcement that was made by President Cyril Ramaphosa on Wednesday?
So again, there's very little hard information out there, but from what government officials have said, they said they've substantially ramped up. I know the International Convention Center here in Cape Town, various spots in Johannesburg, they have got many thousands of beds available. So my understanding, but as I said, just my understanding, if they have made substantial progress and actually have achieved what they want to do in terms of preparedness for the peak of the number of people falling ill.
Yeah. Andrew, you've been highlighting that you've put this to government. Are you being heard? What level of engagement are you having?
We've had no information back, so we've put this type of information to government in various letters, and I think many people have done the same. I think whether it be CISA, the Associated Savings and Investments South Africa, have put papers to government, and I think many business people have done it privately. Unfortunately, government doesn't seem to be hearing this, and they've taken their own view, which is... Yeah. It's fine. I'm not saying our view is the right view. We've just got this view, which we're putting to government.
Having said that, Andrew, I mean, you don't stand alone in this stance. I've come across various tweets alone echoing this kind of sentiment. Amongst the latest has come through from Mark Lamberti as well. And he said, "We are experiencing the disastrous triumph of ideology and bureaucracy over leadership, common sense and entrepreneurship. So this pandemic might not be the catalyst for change, I guess, that we were hoping for, that would trigger structural change fast." Where's your bar of expectation being set?
In terms of a change, unfortunately, the way we're going at the moment, it's a catalyst for bad change, in terms of South Africa unfortunately being poorer, and that's all South Africans will come out of this substantially poorer. And there is a chance that the government will definitely have to adopt reforms, and we can only hope that they adopt reforms which are pro-growth, pro-education, pro-business, because to my mind these are the type of things that lift people out of poverty, and that's what we want to do. We want to enact reforms in South Africa that allow the economy to grow and allow our people to have jobs and lift themselves out of poverty.
Andrew, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the Chief Investment Officer at Allan Gray, Andrew Lapping.